Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
The term cult has become such a loaded word lately. People who aren't members of certain groups call those groups a cult, and the members of those groups resent it and deny it. Yet, are all cults bad? Maybe some are, maybe some aren't. But on today's show, Nathan is going to talk about a special kind of cult or cultish group that, in his view, is not only good, but actually necessary to the survival of some of his clients. We've got to admit, these are not what you usually think of when you hear the word cult, but once you hear what Nathan has to say, you may look at the whole idea in an entirely different light. And when you hear what I'm going to say, you will remember the awesome responsibility you have when you write copy. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. Okay, Nathan, so I'm excited about this episode because, well, not the cult thing so much. I'm excited because I think you have come up with a very effective new kind of marketing solution that started out with a big obstacle. Your clients have an unusual restriction with the online ad platforms. I mean, when people talk about the First Amendment, they don't realize that it means anyone is free to say anything anywhere. It means the government is not allowed to prohibit free speech. But private businesses like Facebook and Taboola and Google, they can forbid a lot of things. So could you talk about what the restrictions were and what workaround you've come up with?
Yeah, first of all, before we jump into it, for anybody that is offended by the word cult, just pretend that I'm saying culture, and we'll be fine. And yes, anybody who's run ads has run into restrictions. You can't do a before and after picture because it might make somebody feel bad about themselves. You can't say this in an ad because it goes against the guidelines and tiptoes on some kind of speech that we don't want on our platform. We want people on our platform feeling a specific way, and your ad doesn't contribute to that feeling that we're trying to get people to have. And then in my particular case, I have a lot of clients that work in legally gray areas, stuff that's legal, but the expressed legality, maybe the banking institutions haven't completely adopted their niche yet, CBD, different cannabis brands. So I tend to enjoy a challenge with my advertising and marketing. And so I also tend to attract people who have something that's totally legitimate to sell, but maybe makes the advertising platforms feel a little bit squeamish. And so we've had to come up with workarounds, ways to get around some of the limitations presented by traditional advertising. And so the biggest thing is coming up with a culture based around your brand that, even if your ad account gets shut down or if your ads get rejected or if you're just not allowed to advertise whatsoever, you still have a community of people out there selling for you and advocating for your brand and bringing more people into the culture. And it's not done by accident. So I wanted to talk today about some of the tactics, strategies, some of the tools that we use specifically regarding copywriting and how we're able to build that culture around brands that have a difficult time advertising.
Could you go in depth a little more about the markets that you're in and sort of give us an overview of this culture approach?
I'll use the two that I'm most involved in right now, which is I have two pretty big clients in the cannabis industry. One of them teaches people how to grow cannabis, which is legal in most areas, but then there's still some areas where it's not, so zero advertising. And then I have another client in the cannabis industry who does shovels and picks and axes. Yeah, doesn't actually sell cannabis, but sells nutrients and soil supplements and grow setups to help people grow cannabis. And they're both legitimate businesses, but because of the realm that they're in, it's very difficult to advertise. And then another client that sells CBD, ayahuasca-infused CBD. And also, again, CBD is kind of like a gray area. Ayahuasca-infused CBD is even grayer. And so there's hurdles there as well. And so between those three clients, we're always running into red flags, rejections. And so, yeah, it's all about building that culture around the brand and having that culture go out and do the selling for us.
Yeah. So this is interesting because, I mean, I know you're going to get into the nitty gritty more, but it sounds like you're not using advertising at all. This is all being done through organic posts and creating communities and then getting your customers to sell for you. I mean, that takes the traditional online sales model and turns it inside out, right?
Yeah, it's mostly content. Direct response content is what I like to call it. It's content with direct response copywriting principles as its backbone. That content leads people to a community, and then that community is where we do our selling, and then we have our brand evangelists inside of the community going outside of the community and bringing people in. And so it becomes, my buddy Landon likes to talk about starter culture. When you're trying to create a starter culture for something, maybe you're making a brew or something like that. You create the container, you add some ingredients, you put your yeast in there, you put your sugar in there, and then you let it start to bubble and toil, and it starts to create this culture. And so it's getting the right ingredients and then having a clubhouse for those ingredients to come together and make the magic happen, and being kind of the master brewer behind it is what I do for a lot of my clients right now.
Sure. And just to get a better sense of what you're talking about, what's the container for the culture? Is it a Facebook group? Is it, you know, what, an email list? What is it?
An email list works good, but that's one to many. There's not very much of interacting with each other. Facebook groups work great. Buddy Boss is a platform that you can run with WordPress that allows you to create your own social media site. We love that. I'm just diving into School, SKOOL, and their platform is amazing for building communities, for building culture. And so that one, out of all of them, that one's my favorite right now. I think that their platform just nails it for what it is that I do for myself and for my clients.
Okay. So the beginning of bringing somebody in and the way you sustain the community is with content, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you find is the best mix of content to get people into the community?
So I teased at this earlier, direct response content. So there's a couple of things to keep in mind. I like to think of a Venn diagram where you've got the two overlapping circles. One of the circles is the me circle, me, my brand, my company. The other circle is the potential target market that I'm trying to go after, mm-hmm, or trying to attract. And then the overlap is the us, the things that they want to learn about and the things that I want to teach about, that I want to talk about. And my content is usually 70% that us overlap. So the content is going to be mainly focused on the stuff that they want to learn and I want to teach. It's going to be about 10% them. I might ask them to leave their comments, their thoughts in the comment section. I might ask them, hey, what would you like the next video to be about? But only about 10% of my content is focused exclusively on them and their needs. And then about 20% of my content is based off of my client's personality. So 70% is the stuff that we have in common. 20% is the client's personality and establishing them as the person in the niche to pay attention to. And then about 10% is asking for audience involvement. And the reason why I do that ratio, the 20% of their personality helps them stand out, helps them not be the same corporate white bread everybody else. And, you know, you get lost because you're the same as everybody else. And then 10%, the audience engagement, the audience needs, I want to have that in mind, but I don't want them to lead. It's kind of like asking the deer how it wants to be hunted if you give too much attention to the audience needs. So 70% us, 20% my client and their personality, and then 10% what the audience is asking for.
Okay, so still trying to get a handle on the content pieces that you're using to kick it off and to keep it going. How do you get them to look at the pieces, the first pieces of content to begin with?
This is where a healthy background in copywriting is, it pays off dividends. One of the first things that you learn, or one of the most important things that you can learn about copywriting, is the importance of a hook. You got to grab people's attention and you got to get them in. So most, if not all of our content, the very first thing is, how do I grab your curiosity? How do I make a promise that makes you want to consume the rest of the content? So curiosity evoking headlines, curiosity evoking YouTube video titles, YouTube thumbnails, scroll stoppers, one or two words like danger, danger, or you won't believe this, or put this in your soil and solve your pH problems forever, but never giving away, just kind of hinting, teasing, evoking that curiosity. And then as soon as you click on the video or as soon as you open the email, it reinstates that value. Hey, watch this video to the end and I'm going to help you solve this problem and you'll never have to worry about it again. So using those principles of how important a headline is, how important your hook is, and using that in the creation, the structure of your content. A lot of content creators don't understand these direct response principles. They're just, I'm going to turn on the camera and I'm going to ramble for 15 minutes and hopefully I say something that gets people interested. And we take a totally different approach. I take everything that I've learned in the last 15 years of direct response copywriting, and our content is based off of the principles that keep people reading, will also keep people watching, will also keep people engaged in your Facebook group, your school community, your buddy boss community, whichever one that you're going with.
So are you keeping any track of metrics? I mean, do you know how fast these groups grow or how large they are?
Yes, but here's the thing that diminishes my value a little bit, or at least could perceived. It's never the same. It always works, but sometimes I come in with a client that's starting from 30 miles an hour, and to get them up to 60 miles an hour takes a little bit more effort. Sometimes I come in with a client that's already at 60 miles an hour, and getting them to 100 miles an hour happens overnight. So the principles work, but if you're starting from zero, it takes a little bit longer. If you're starting from 30, it goes a little bit faster. If you're starting from 60, it happens almost overnight.
But have you created massive groups that, mm-hmm. you know, that provide, you know, cash flow to the businesses?
Mm-hmm. I'll just give one example. The Real Growers, the picks and shovels guy that sells nutrients and supplements and grow kits. Mm-hmm. We started his YouTube channel and his community about 6 months apart. When we started the YouTube channel, it immediately started getting, but this is because we had already established a pretty good mailing list. But when we started his YouTube channel, it immediately shot to the number one channel in the niche and was outperforming all of his competition within a month. When we launched his community on the Buddy Boss plugin, it immediately shot to like 3,000 community members within about a month. And the last time I checked, we had increased his sales from the start of the YouTube channel to, and this has been about a 6 month process, 5 month process. On the website, sales are up 24%, and on Amazon up 66%. So a giant increase in sales just from integrating the direct response content and integrating the community aspect. And like I said, now we've got all the people or a bunch of the people in the community. You get into the community and now you see people getting results with his products. Now you see people posting pictures of their grow, posting pictures of the nugs that they grew with his nutrients. And then that's the social proof aspect. People ask, man, how did you use it? I wanted to check it out, but I'm afraid because it's a new revolutionary product. And then we've got people in the group going on the YouTube channel, leaving comments about how great the community is. And we use the content to push people to the community. And if someone's on the fence, they go through the comments and there's 15 people saying, man, I just joined. This community is amazing. Thank you so much for telling me about it. And it just becomes this explosive culture that just grows and grows.
The culture leader and his trusty sidekick, you, I mean, how much content are you generating? Is it daily? Is it weekly?
It's generally weekly, twice weekly. It's not as in-depth as Copywriter's Podcast is. We usually do a 7 to 10 minute, sometimes 14 minutes max, two videos like that per week. And the videos are very simple. We make a scroll-stopping thumbnail and title. The title evokes curiosity, gets you to click. The video starts off reinforcing right away, hey, if you want to learn about this, you're in luck. We're going to teach you all about this, this, and this. Then we do a quick call to action. By the way, if you want to go deeper with a community full of people who got your back and help you and blah, 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 blah. So I'm underselling it. But go check out realgrowlab.com and then immediately back in, all right, let's talk about this. And then it's 3 points, similar to what we do for the Copywriters Podcast, but we try to keep them quicker for the YouTube attention span. Podcast listeners can put up with a little bit more than YouTube listeners or viewers can usually. And then the end of the video, always the same call to action. But that's just my two cents. What do you think about it? Let me know your comments in the comments section, or let me know your thoughts in the comments section. And if you like this video, hit the like button, smash that subscribe button, share this video with a grower you know, and check out the other two videos YouTube's recommending. And so it's very templated, but it just works like gangbusters, and it helps build that community. And then the content plus the community just foster each other. And like I said, it just grows and grows and grows. And then before you know it, your audience is out there doing your selling for you. So it's just amazing.
Yeah. So I hate it when I do this. I almost never do this, but I'm going to ask you two questions at once because I'm afraid I'll lose them. Didn't have them written down. I mean, one question is, I may not remember the other one, but one question is, this is a very different kind of copywriting, at least the headlines, than you originally might have learned when you were writing sales pages or even Facebook ads, especially the scroll stopper. Have you found that adjustment difficult? And I don't remember the other question. It'll come out later.
You know, I will say this. Ben Settle, back when I first started talking with him, he told me, bro, go read more issues of the National Enquirer. And it is a different type of headline writing, but that's where that type of, wait, someone did what with an alien and had what kind of baby? Oh, I got to read this. That's more of the approach, the National Enquirer type of headline. Secret information. Your day is going to be ruined if you don't. You're going to just be questioning yourself all day. Wait, what kind of baby did they have? And so I have to click on this video to find out the answer. So it is a slightly different type of headline, but it's, and I always walk the line of, don't make this clickbait. You have to deliver on what you promise, what you tease, but tease. Don't be afraid to tease.
Okay. I kind of had a feeling this was a little National Enquirer-ish, but I wasn't sure. The other thing, I do remember the other question, and it's sort of complicated because I have a client who deals with people in a particular kind of distress, and it's kind of confidential, so I won't get into too much detail, but he has a really unique theory. It says people who have this particular problem feel very alone, lonely, but also alone. Like no one can understand what they're going through, even though millions of other people have and people do every day. And so part of his copy approach is just to lift them up emotionally so that they feel capable of dealing with something before they even consider asking for his help. There's company's help. Okay. I only bring that up not because the people, you know, are under some incredible distress in your cultures, but I'm wondering if you think that because these are kind of gray area, not totally mainstream things, these people feel a little lonely too, and they just jump at the opportunity to become part of a community of other people like them who understand them and aren't going to judge them or shun them.
Yes, I think that I think of the movie Fight Club, where he joined all the different, like, cancer survivor group and Alcoholics Anonymous, and the I feel alone, I feel like I'm secluded, and finding a community of people who understand me, where I fit in, it's definitely appealing, and it helps them open up and be ready to pull the trigger. I mean, if you've got a support group behind you that is saying, hey, we've walked this path, these are the steps that we took, we got to where we wanted to go, where you want to go, we've got your back, go ahead and pull the trigger. That's amazing, and I don't think that there's anything that can replace that. But also, even if it's not a niche where you feel secluded and you feel alone, people are desperate for identity. I buy these type of clothes because I want the world to think this about me. I listen to this type of music. I dress like this celebrity. I eat this type of food. I shop at Whole Foods, or I eat McDonald's, or whatever it is. I drive this type of car. People buy things to express who they are or who they want the world to think they are.
Yeah.
And finding out which community of people is it that buys this, and what are their values? What are the things inside of the group? What are the values that we see keep popping up? What are the villains that we see keep popping up? Cultivating that and paying attention to what naturally occurs and then leaning into it, leveraging it, is information that you'll get for selling your product or service that you won't get any other way. So I would say, yes, it's great for a market where people maybe don't feel like they're able to express themselves. But I would also say the benefit of doing this approach, even if you've got a very mainstream brand, is invaluable. And like I said, you'll get stuff that you won't get any other way.
Yeah, I love that as a new method of, or a new way, a new door, new path into customer research. So let's get back to the nuts and bolts of it a little bit. Engagement techniques. You talked about your scroll stoppers, which are great. Do you have any other engagement techniques you could share?
I have a couple. I'm going to keep most of them secret, but I'm going to give away the most effective one that I love to use. And you can use this whether you've got a community, whether you have content on a YouTube channel, whether you're just doing stuff on X or Facebook or in your emails. And I call it the cultish call out. And I know I'm using the word cult again. It's just basically taking a testimonial, taking a review, maybe a book review from David's latest book, and just screenshotting it and posting it on your social media, and with a thank you. Hey, thanks to a reader from Australia for this amazing testimonial. Really appreciate you. And it's a way to humble brag. It's a way to get your audience to do your selling for you. Another example of this would be, I like to call these "That's What She Said" emails, where I just take something that one of my, a response that I got from a recent client, and I said, hey, Scotty Real over at Real Growers was over the moon when he checked his Amazon monthly sales. We went up 66% in the last 4 months, the last 5 months. And then I just put a screenshot of the Amazon increase in sales. And this is what Scott had to say about it. Nathan, you're the missing link. Thank you so much for working with our business. And so it's not me bragging about how great I am. It's one of my clients bragging about it. Or if you do a YouTube video and somebody leaves a comment, this is amazing. This is exactly what I was looking for. I tried it last night and my plants started to pop and it worked just like you said it would. Thank you so much for this video. And then in the next video, be like, hey, real quick, I just want to give some love to Sydney. She said, this is a great thing. It worked. I tried it last night. Thank you for the video. Sydney, thank you for taking some time to leave a kind comment. We really appreciate it. Just spotlighting somebody in your culture and giving them a little bit of the sunshine and letting them do a little bit of your selling for you. And then other people in the culture see that. They see the emails with that. That's what she said emails. They see the comments that get spotlighted on the next video. They see the screenshots of their sales increasing thanks to what you taught them. And then they want to share. And then it creates that culture of people that go out and do your selling for you.
That's great. So before we wrap up, you've developed a community to help people learn this kind of marketing. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah. So I have been doing this for my clients and working. I got to give a shout out to my buddy, Landon Porter. We worked in the Sales Guerrilla community back in the day, and he taught me a lot of the community aspect, and I've taught him a lot of the content marketing aspect. And we've kind of collaborated, put our two genius zones together to create what we're working on right now, which is Forbidden Marketing Secrets. It's a group on School. It's called Culture Builders, C-U-L-T-U-R-E Builders. And that's all we're doing is we're teaching people how to create the direct response content and then how to drive people into a Facebook group, a buddy boss group, a school community. And then once they're in there, how to start that culture of developing people who will advocate for you, will go out and defend your brand when you're not around and go out and do your selling for you. So look up Forbidden Marketing Secrets Culture Builders on School, or you can just go to forbiddenmarketingsecrets.com and that redirects right to the school group. And if anything in this podcast kind of lit a fire under your ass, you'll really enjoy being over there. David, I'm going to try and twist your arm and get you into the cult as well.
Okay, I'll check it out. Okay. I mean, I'm not a community person, but I'm open to change. Maybe I'd like it. Maybe I just haven't found the right community. Yeah.
Listen, we've got great Kool-Aid inside. So.
I love Kool-Aid almost as much as coffee.
Nice. So yeah, ForbiddenMarketingSecrets.com is the place to go to check it out. It's free to join, at least at the time of the recording, and you'll get a bunch of more of these things that we've been talking about in this episode.
Okay. I'll check it out. That sounds good.
All right. And the other URL that I have to plug is copywriterspodcast.com. If you enjoyed this episode, we have tons, 390 other episodes of great awesomeness like this one over at copywriterspodcast.com. So go check it out. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.